Turn to Acts chapter 19 tonight. Hallelujah. I was talking to Allison, I think it was, this week, and we were going through the book of Acts and how we're already... It was Jessica yesterday. I was showing her something I was doing on our website to try to lessen... If you've not been on our website, we've got the audio for every... from chapter 15 on, and but it's all in this big long line. You just have to keep scrolling down, and so I've created areas to go into, but I just haven't put them there yet. And so I was like, you know, out of 28 chapters, we're in chapter 19, which we are moving. We're moving in the right direction, and working towards the end. But you know. Our desire is to find out how to operate in the greater. And so that's where we have been. That's where we focused. That's what our desire has been. And so we do take these little, I don't want to say breaks because we're still on Acts. But when the Holy Spirit says, I want you to teach on this area and make sure you get it in, it might take a couple weeks to get this all in. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here in chapter 19. Chapter 19 is mostly understood in most titles, or most people refer to Acts chapter 19 as the revival in Ephesus. And we're seeing some of it here, but we're really going to see it probably in the next couple of weeks where people really start getting born again and turning away from their old lives. It's interesting to me how many people love God and just are still tied, how can I word it to where I don't get in trouble, are not, they love God, but they still, I don't really want to paint the picture that they're tied to an old life, because that gets that picture that they're caught up in sin, and if you're caught up in sin, then, you know, perhaps you're not as born again as you thought you were. But they're born again, but they're still not sold out. That would be the best way. They're born again, but they're still not sold out. I remember the message I preached where I used the quote from Mark Batterson, where he said, well, the thing that concerns me the most as a pastor is that I have a church full of people who have done enough to get to heaven, but never sell themselves out for the things of God. And that's the way I am. I'm not telling you that I'm perfect by any means, but I know this much. I know when it's church time, I want to go to church. When it's worship time, I want to worship. When it's giving time, I want to give. When it's word time, I want to word. I want to hear. I want to receive. When it's leaving time, I want to put stuff into practice that I've received. I don't want to be part time. I don't want to be halfway in. I don't want to go. I don't want to just have the name that I'm a pastor. You know. There's people who, and I just thought of this because I looked at my kids. You know, there's people who can call themselves. You know, I was a college athlete. I was, and they maybe were. They maybe got. A scholarship for going and playing basketball somewhere, or they are playing football somewhere. They got the scholarship. They went to school. They were on the team. They got the uniforms. They got all the practice jerseys. They got all the travel gear. They got all that kind of stuff and never played a second. And unfortunately, I think that's where much of the church world is at. Is that they can go around saying, I'm a Christian. I've got the travel gear. I go to church. I belong to this church. I do this. I do that. I do that. But they've never set a foot on the actual playing field. They've never gone all in. They've never gotten off the bench. They're content on the bench. That was the thing with both of my kids, and I think all of us have seen it throughout their the times they played ball, is that you know Ryan went into college, and he went a lower division than he probably could have gone, And a lot of people were like, yeah, but you got a lot of playing time. But he had a coach that was his coach in AAU who was trying to get him in contact with the UCLA coach in Los Angeles and said, Ryan, if I could get him to take you as a walk-on, would you go? Because I'm convinced that if you'd walk on the first year, that you would not be satisfied with just being on the bench. That you would find yourself into the playing time and you'd get into that place and you'd earn yourself a scholarship the next year. And Ryan's like, earlier in his life, he'd have been cool with LA, but because they were not satisfied with playing sitting the bench. If they sat the bench too long, their back end started burning. They wanted to get in. And beloved, that's just, again, I know I'm not just, yes, I'm bragging on my kids. I love bragging on my kids. If you want to talk to Pastor Thad and have a delightful conversation where I don't stop talking, just get me talking about my kids. I enjoy it. You might show you some videos of me. I'm just kidding. But what I'm saying here is that we need the church. And am I saying us? Sure, us. Am I saying we haven't? No. Am I saying we can more? Yes. It is time for us to get in there, get in full-fledged, not be satisfied with just sitting here saying, well, at least we're going to heaven. Beloved, we got things to get accomplished. We've got things to get done. We've got the greater to step into. And that's just where going through step by step. And here in Acts 19, where this revival is taking place, is that I want to see this kind of stuff go. But there's a calling card to the heathen. And the calling card, surprisingly enough, isn't a good sermon. The calling card isn't necessarily good music. Because the world's got good music. I mean, good musicians, whether it's good music or not. They've got good musicians. So that's not the calling card. The calling card is the power of God. The calling card is the anointing of God. And we can talk up a storm, but until we start operating in demonstrations. Paul said, man, I didn't come at you with just words and eloquent words, which he could have done. He said, Now understand this. He did come at them with eloquent words. He didn't come at them with just eloquent words. I come at you with power. And that's what we're dealing with here in Acts 19. Because he shows up and the first thing he think about this. The first thing he tells them, and we're not going to talk here because I don't want to just, you know, talk about old things. First thing he did is he said, I want you to, do you have the Holy Ghost? Why? Because he wanted them to walk in power. First thing he said when he showed up, he came up to a group of men and said, wherein have you been baptized? And they said, under John's baptism. And he said, what about the Holy Spirit? What about baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, we didn't even know there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, guess what? Today's your day, not just to say you talk in tongues, but today is a baptism in power. Beloved, I'm telling you what, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for you not for your checklist. Been born again, done. Baptized in water, done. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, done. Well, you know, I'm an usher, done. Teach a Sunday school class, done. Mowed the church lawn, done. It's not on your checklist. It is an endowment with power. When the early church first received the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other tongues, they didn't go, all right, got that one done. No, they flooded into the streets and started seeing miracles and started seeing power. What I'm saying is this, as I believe in this church, probably 85 to 90% of us speak in other tongues, which should be a representation of 85 or 90% of us do walking in power and seeing the miraculous happen in our lives. And if it's not, it doesn't mean we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. It means that we have, I don't want to say failed, but we have stopped short of what it was given to us for. It was not given to us for goosebumps. Oh, I like Holy Ghost goosebumps. Pastor Lisa was saying Sunday morning, she said, she was, I think it was Sunday morning, she was holding Lorelei, and she was like, I just wanted to go, and I wanted to jump, and I wanted to just spin around, and I wanted to do all that kind of stuff, and I had to behave myself, and I was like this. Holy Ghost goosebumps are awesome. But that's not why we were given the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was an endowment with power for us to change the environment around us. Not to sit there and cower because the environment around us is seemingly overtaking us. I say this a lot. But beloved, one of the main things we need to do more is speak in our heavenly language. And you say, man, I speak a lot in my heavenly language. Good. Speak more in it. Because we need to stir up the gifts. We need to stir up the power. Oh, goodness gracious. Let's start reading here so I... Something's stirring in me, and that. But see, I mean, I'm not changing the topic here at all, because he said when their hearts were hardened, he went to the school of Tyrannus, verse 10, and continued in the space of 2 years. And in those 2 years, all of Asia heard of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of them responded. I think I've said that every week that we've read that. It is not our job to get them to respond. It is our job to deliver the word and to operate in power. And during those 2 years, God brought special miracles through the hands of Paul. So that from one of the examples of these special miracles is that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs of aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. So, again, why did the word go throughout Asia? Why did people respond to the word throughout Asia? Because Paul was being used in special miracles, and it was getting the attention of the heathen. Oh, I don't even know. People are afraid to use that and say, no, I think God just uses the healing and all that kind of stuff just when he wants to do it, and if it wants to operate in it, and we really shouldn't expect things and all that kind of stuff. How many is God okay with perishing? None. And therefore, he's willing for all to come to repentance. And therefore, he fully expects us to operate in the same power and anointing that the Apostle Paul operated in. Now, last week we began talking about the handkerchiefs and the aprons, and understanding here that it wasn't the handkerchiefs or the aprons that were special. It was the anointing that was on Paul that was transferable onto those handkerchiefs and aprons, that it was the anointing that was on that was taken and laid on people that saw them healed. And again, I know people are like, well, I think, should we have a certain kind of handkerchief? People put rules on things they don't need to put rules on. You know, it's got to be this kind. It's got to be this kind. It's got to be this. No. I mean, literally, put a napkin on somebody and take it. Put a sock on somebody and go, you're believing for someone to get born again. bring a clean sock and let the anointing be on that clean sock, and then just go roll it up in their drawer, and when they put it on, the conviction of Almighty God will be all over them. But I don't know, it's got to be something spiritual. There was nothing spiritual with the belt or the apron, the headband or the belt. There was nothing spiritual about that. They just were decorative and held sweat. That was it. But when they were taken to those that had diseases or those that were possessed of the devils, they were made free. So it wasn't about the cloth, it was about the anointing that was on Paul that was transferable onto that cloth. Now, we finished last week, and again, I'm not gonna teach on this per se. Go on the line and hear that. But our biggest problem in the church is that we've been operating like common people, and we were never created to be common. And I'm not going to spend much time on that, but obviously that grabbed a hold of me at the end of last week, and we never really moved off of that because again, we're like, well, who am I? Oh, you're a carrier of the anointing and the power of Almighty God. You are not a mere man. The Bible corrects the thoughts of, you are not a mere man. You are not operating in flesh and operating as a mere man. You are something special. We are different. We are carriers of His anointing. In 1 John chapter 2, we don't turn there per se, but it tells us a couple different times that the anointing of God lives in us. That we have that anointing, that unction in us. Go to Isaiah chapter 10. I want you to understand what the anointing is. Because if we can get an understanding of the anointing, it is the Spirit of God, it is the power of God that He's placed on us, but there is a specific picture, a specific job of the anointing. And in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it gives us the purpose for this anointing. Now last week we looked up Acts 10:38 where it says he's been anointed. Jesus was anointed to go around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Again, it was one of the pictures that we have to understand is that Jesus did not operate the way He operated because He was God. Philippians chapter 2 says He laid down. He set aside His Godhood and took on the form of a man, the same as you and I. And he did good and operated in healing virtue because He was anointed and God was with Him, not because He was God. Did you throw that up there? I didn't know if you did or not. Good. And this tells us, and it came to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The purpose of the anointing is burden removing, yoke destroying. You do not need the anointing, again, just for Holy Ghost goosebumps. You don't need the anointing just, yes, there's anointing in singing. No one can listen to Steve play the guitar without understanding there's an anointing on him. But his anointing to play that guitar and to enter into that has nothing to do with us going, well, that's a good toe tapper. I can tap my toe to what he's playing right there. Or, ooh, that just sounds so good. I like what he does. I mean, I stand over here and I'm in praise and worship, and I hear him and Jessica going, and all of a sudden I hear Steve do something I hadn't heard him do, and I'm going, oh, and it just like, it helps melt. Well, what's happening in there is there's an anointing that is being released as he plays that because that's his gifting. Oh, we're going to get into a few things here, and I can't wander. I've got to. But that anointing is not just for us to feel good. Sometimes, you know, that song where he's going, you know, we're going, that's weird because, you know, he had no drums or whatever and all kind of stuff. And it's weird. Keep your place in Acts or wherever we're at. I don't know where we're at right now. And go to 1 Samuel 16. Hallelujah. Let's start reading at verse 13 here first. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So David had an anointing that was on him. Now, he had anointing for war, we know that. He had an anointing for wisdom, we understand all that kind of stuff. But notice how that anointing came forth. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord. And it just, again, it wasn't, he had been blessed, it came, the evil spirit came. Troubled him. So he was agitated by this evil spirit that came on him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who preaches real good. Seek out a man who prays real good. I'm not shortchanging prayer. I'm not shortchanging preaching. Seek out a man who is a cunning player on the guitar, on the stringed instrument, on the harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God comes on you and it starts troubling you, he'll play and thou shalt be well. Now again, they didn't come up with that just because they understood that there was some wisdom there. So Paul said, figure it out. Go get one. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son in Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, mighty valiant, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent matters, and a comely person. Again, he hadn't done nothing but protect animals. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, Send me David your son, which is with his sheep. And Jesse took, and David said unto Saul, came unto Saul, verse 21, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul said unto Jesse, I need to go to the bottom. And it came to pass, verse 23, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, David took his guitar, shall I say it in Eastern Kentucky, the guitar, and began playing with his hands. Not singing, just doing guitar solos. And the anointing that was on him was released through the music he played. And the evil spirit went away from him. Now we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but spending time with that right now is going to keep me from having to spend a whole lot of time. But the yoke will be destroyed, the burden will be removed because of the anointing that is coming forth. All right. Preaching, teaching. It can be a good speech. And it can be one of those things that you walk away from it going, that was a good speech. I know we'd call it a sermon, but basically you walk around going, he did a good job presenting the facts. That's why the giftings and the offices of God are not about somebody taking a position. Joe Schmo decides to be pastor of this church and decides to get up here as this church, and he can give the best speeches in the world because he's a good speaker. And no burdens will be removed and no yokes will be destroyed. I'm standing up here preaching a couple weeks ago. And at the end of the service, I had spoke something out several times. And somebody here was like, "Lord, but I don't know." And was kind of stuck because they knew what I was saying, but they didn't know what to do. And you guys probably remember this at the end of the sermon. One of the last things I said is I stopped and I said, "The Holy Spirit told me to tell you, you already know." And that person said to me, they said, I heard just before then, just before you said that, I heard God say, "You know what you're supposed to do." And then the next thing I know, you said it out of your mouth. That was me operating under the anointing of the gifting and the calling of God. One of the greatest areas of anointing that I operate in is my mouth. I wished I could play the guitar. I've wanted to come in here and play, sit down at the piano. Well, I envy, you know, David Redding when he sits down to pray. He sits down at the piano and just begins playing. And I'm like, "Oh, that would just be magnificent to be able to get to do that." My gifting is singing. My gifting is preaching. And so when I'm operating in that, when the words are coming out of my mouth, there are burdens being removed, there are yokes being destroyed. That's the purpose of the anointing. When the anointing was on Jesus, go to Acts 10:38, just so we see that. When the anointing was on Jesus, and that's what it says there, Acts 10:38, there's anointing on Jesus. And when the anointing was on Jesus, burdens were removed and yokes were destroyed. When the anointing was on Paul, it was transferable to others and burdens were removed and yokes were destroyed. And God has an anointing that is on each and every one of us where burdens are to be removed and yokes are to be destroyed by you. When the children of God begin walking in this anointing, yokes of sickness or anything else that the devil tries to put on us will be destroyed. And that would qualify Acts 19, verse 11, where it says he brought special miracles through Paul. Now, the simple, and I say simple because this is just, if you read the definition of the word anointing, the definition means to smear like butter. I was going to bring something like Vaseline here tonight, but I didn't want to make a mess. And I would have made a mess to bring the point across. That's legitimate. That's literally what the word anointing is. It's to smear like butter. And if we think about the power and the presence of God on our life, it is literal. Now, again, I go back to what I said last week. And I asked for Taylor's help with that. Is that when the bodybuilding competition, the last thing they do before they walk onto stage is make sure they're all oiled up, so that when the light hits them, they glisten, and you can see all the stuff on them. Well, that is legitimately what God wants to do when you go out in public. When you go out to the world around you, He wants you glistening. Let your light so shine. And so he oils you up with His anointing, with His Spirit, with His power, so that when you go, you are an obvious sight to everyone. Now think about this. If the power of the presence of God is covering your life like a tub of oil, number one, it would be to your benefit. You say, "What's that?" Go to Psalm 23, verse 5. This is an interesting one. But it would be to your benefit. It'd be for your... Yes. So he just wants me to have this anointing so that I can give it away to others? Well, sure. But notice here, it says here, Psalm 20, it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, one of the things I learned in teaching through that, and if you haven't heard this message, maybe I need to re-preach it at some time, but sometime that I have, you know, a year to go through it, right? Because I preach forever. That what it is that one of the things that would happen to the sheep is that in the heat of the summer is that they would get these flies and these gnats that would just swarm them. And it would mess with them. The devil is known as the Lord of the Flies. Because he likes to annoy you. And he likes to discourage you. And he likes to mess with your head. And those flies in the middle of that will come and they'll buzz around. And it'll keep the sheep from laying down in green pastures. Enjoying the still waters. And these bugs. And so what the shepherd would do is he would come to the sheep and he'd put an oil or a ointment on their head that would work as a bug repellent. And so the anointing that came upon them was to keep the enemy, keep the flies, keep the things that were causing him distress, causing him frustration, keep it away from him. So it's to your benefit that you carry this anointing. There's a lot of people that deal with a lot of things that the devil has thrown at them, and they don't need to be dealing with it because that anointing would take care of it. Now, some of y'all going, well, Pastor, that out of... Yeah, we're going to get to that. I promise you we'll get to that. I just have to hurry. But it's not only for your for your benefit. It's also for this. And this is where I was going to get some Vaseline or some lotion or something like that, or some Crisco, I don't know, and get it all over my hands, and then come and start shaking hands with you guys. How many of you guys would have shook hands with me? Pastor Lisa would have gone with I know my wife wouldn't have. But everything I touch, if I would have been walking and if I would have had that on my hands and I would have just touched this seat, it would have been on it. If I would have fixed my belt, it would have been all over my belt. If I'd have had a hat and I adjusted my hat, it would have been all over my hat. Are you starting to see here why they took the headband and the belt from the Apostle Paul? Is because the anointing that was on him got all, and they couldn't take all of his clothes. They couldn't strip him bare. They took the things that he could actually get rid of and not walk away naked. Even though I think he probably would have been okay with that if it had been for the healing. But everything we touch. Quite often I'll come out here on a Wednesday and I'll just touch every seat. Lord, let the power and the presence and the healing virtue of God be upon every seat. If I know people that sit in that specific seat, I call you by name. I was listening. I saw a little thing from Big Daddy Weave. And one of the men on their bass player, who's already had health issues, but he passed away recently due to complications from COVID. They said that one of the things that he did before he had legs amputated or something like that because of his health situation. And one of the things that he would do every concert before he lost his motion and then mobility, and then after that, people would just stand in his place because that was what he loved to do, is he'd walk through the whole auditorium and begin laying hands on every seat because he wanted lives touched. He wanted burdens removed. He wanted yokes destroyed. It's transferable. You understand what I'm saying? It's transferable. Now what I'm talking about is that if it's on you, everything you touch, shake a hand. Obviously in COVID land, you have to ask permission or you freak someone out. But I tell you what, if they walk away healed, I think they meant forgive you. It's a transferable thing that God has placed on us in order to not just be for our benefit, yes, but to help others and take care of others. It's tangible, transferable. Hallelujah. But now the level of the anointing that you have determines your level of productivity. I'll give you an example here. John chapter 3, verse 34 says, "For he whom God hath sent," Jesus, talking about Jesus, "speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him." Or in other translations it says, "For God gave him the Spirit without measure." So he had an anointing that was on him. And we'll talk here in a second why he had that kind of anointing. But he had an anointing on him that was unlimited, without measure. And there was a reason why. But he said, "The works that I do, you'll do and greater." So we don't need to be sitting there going, "But he was God." No, he laid his godhood down. And he did what was necessary to carry that anointing without measure. And so that's what we need to. Now, okay, all right. Let me hit this. I'll do it relatively quick. How do we get more? If we want more, how do we get more? I'm gonna give you four things, just quick. First thing is that you've got to thirst after Him. You cannot have your life cluttered by so many other things and expect to walk in an unmeasured level of anointing. I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. I'm not saying you can't go to your kids' games or enjoy your kids or go out to eat or watch a TV show. But you've got to thirst for more of Him. You've got to want more of Him in your life. It says here, and it's a song I sang last week, and if you remember, we closed with this song, Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, that's how much I want you. I thirst for you." Paul said in Philippians 3, "that I may know Him." I want you. I want more of you. "I've had it all, but what I need is more of you." He wanted more. How much more? Until he was exactly like Jesus, being conformed to the power that he showed in his death. Our passion, we've got to have a passion to know him more, to want him more, to taste of his goodness and his power, seeking after him, staying hungry for more of his ways. Number two, we've got to become more aware of his presence. Constantly with us. One of the first revelations, and anybody that's read his books, Good Morning Holy Spirit, one of the first revelation that Benny Hinn had was that the Holy Spirit was a person. And that there needed to be a continual awareness of who he is and that his presence was there. And the first thing he prioritized to do every day was to wake up and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." To awaken his day with the realization that God was with him. How do we do that? By talking to him. Pray without ceasing. By worshiping him, intimacy with him. Coming in, just loving on him. Inviting him in. And again, I just simply say this, live appropriately. And that there can be so much into that. Obviously sin, don't walk in sin. But don't walk in things that make him sad. Think of your day today. Think of things that you did today. Think of things that you thought of today. Think of things that you said today. And then think, If Jesus would have been right next to me, if the Holy Spirit would have been right next to me, would I have said the same things? Now, some of us would go, yeah, I'm cool. Some of us would go, yeah, I probably wouldn't have had that conversation. Well, then you're not in a full awareness of his presence with you all the time. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm not standing up here without sin. Look, man, I don't want anybody throwing the... I'm not going to throw the first stone. But if we want more of that anointing, we've got to understand that that anointing doesn't come on you just because. How about number three? And this is where, this is one of the things I kept bringing up all night long. Stay in your lane. Keep doing what God called you to do. Keep doing it in the place he called you to do it. If Steve started trying to bump and saying, Pastor Ted, I think I should preach more. Now, maybe he's got that calling. I don't know. But I know that his lane, and we're glad his lane, is that guitar and his voice. And as long, you know, when you start trying to, when you try to start taking someone else's lane and trying to take something that's not yours, you will wear yourself out. You will frustrate yourself. You will frustrate your calling because you'll have to work hard. And you might think things are happening. Oh man, our worship service went an hour and a half today. Well, how hard did you have to work for that? I'm going to leave that alone. Stay in your lane. Do what you've been called to do. Elisha was told, if you are in your lane, when Elijah is taken up, you'll get the double portion. And that didn't mean that Elisha was trying to cause division with Elijah. He wasn't trying to mix things up and trying to get things his way. He had to keep doing specifically what he is doing, and that he had to stay in his lane. If you want your anointing to grow, you keep doing what you're doing. If you're a prayer warrior, you stay in that area. You keep praying. You keep developing your prayer life. If you're a musician, you keep developing that area. If you're a preacher, keep developing that area. You do what you're called to do. And then God increases the anointing. And the final thing I'm going to say here, and I'm just going to have to stop here after this. And this is something that I don't like. But this morning I turned on a message, and Bill Johnson actually mentioned it again. And I was like, mind your own business, Bill. It's fasting. Remember when Jesus in Mark chapter 9, the dad brought his son and said, your disciples couldn't cast the demon out of him. And Jesus said, done, right? Demon left. They leave. And the disciples are up there and they go, why couldn't we do it? And he goes, oh man, you have little faith. And then he says this. He makes a statement. He goes, these kind come out not but by prayer and fasting. And guess what Jesus didn't do either of before he cast that demon out? He didn't pray and he didn't fast. He just commanded. And that has thrown people into tizzy. It's like, they're like, yeah, Jesus, there must have been a gap there where Jesus went away and he fasted and he prayed. And he, no. Jesus literally said, you know what, you know, be healed. And the kid come out, and he came out, the kid was healed. He was in the right mind. He picked him up, remember, and he dusted him off and he sent him on his way. And he's like, yeah, look at that, I'm whole. And Jesus didn't fast nor to pray, but then he said, these come out, they won't come out unless you're fasting and praying. And the statement that Bill Johnson says is this: Jesus never fasted for something, for an event, for something to happen. Jesus fasted for a lifestyle. He fasted at the beginning for 40 days because he was entering in a lifestyle of increase. The Apostle Paul says, man, I have fasted so much. I think it's in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, man, I've fasted so many times. Why? Because he had a lifestyle he needed to move into. And sometimes we're going to say, well, I need healing in my body, so I'm going to fast. Okay, that's cool. But Jesus never did that. He just spoke to the disease. But why did he speak to the disease? Because he fasted for the lifestyle. And therefore, when something rose up, he just had the authority to speak to it, and it left. So it may not be our favorite topic. But it's necessary if we're going to move into a greater anointing. Beloved, God did not call us. Some of y'all are going, oh no, I came to Moorhead for the university. Or I just was born here and I didn't come to Moorhead, didn't move to Moorhead for any reason. I know. That's what we all think. We all think that we chose Moorhead. And God chose Moorhead. God directed our paths. Just think. I mean, again, think 25 years ago where you were at, who you were connected with in life. And then over those 25 years, 20 years ago, God brings a little whippersnapper into town who's still green behind the ears and being a lead pastor. And then, 8 years ago? All to the month. 2013. February 2013. God hooks Grace Fellowship up with Word of Faith. What is Word of Faith? Living Word. Living Word Church. Well, where did our path... look at where we came. Doc came from Colorado. I came... Illinois, Kentucky, Texas. We came from Texas. Some of y'all came from the craziest places of Lewis County. Pennsylvania. And God directed our paths and said, no, I want you in Moorhead for such a time as this. St. Louis, Missouri. Probably wasn't 25 years ago. But God directed our paths because he said, I need you and I need your anointing to be released in Moorhead, in Round County, in this region, to see burdens removed and yokes destroyed, to see healing flow for such a time as this. And beloved, again, we can go through. We can go year by year, week by week, month by month, whatever. Go to church, have a good time, feel good, see victories in our lives. Or we can start tapping into that anointing and see a city changed. A whole world, known world at that time, was changed by 12 men. It started with 12 men. And we got more than 12 here tonight. So what can we do with one city, with one county, with one state. It's time for the greater. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to teach on this, but I am at least going to mention it. Don't be going and trying to fake the anointing. You can't do it. Pastors, people who want to be pastors because they don't want to hear other people preach, they just want to let everybody know, but they don't have the anointing to be a pastor. All they're going to do is they're going to see their family torn apart. They're going to see people frustrated. People who don't have the anointing in their music, but they practice a lot, and so they just get up here and they jam, you know, jam session, whatever. They're going to be empty. And again, we'll bring it out next week as we finish up into Ephesus a little bit, but the seven sons of Sceva thought that they could pretend and they could use the name of Jesus. They could come in there and go, in Jesus' name, you know, the one that Paul preaches, we adjure you. And they thought they could act all big spiritual and stuff like that, but they weren't in their lane and they didn't have the anointing, and all it did was get them messed up. Hallelujah. You are not insignificant. You are not less than. You may not be Pastor Thad, and for many of you, you're like, thank God. You may not have my anointing. I've learned over the years to be grateful for my anointing, and I've had to learn to appreciate my anointing. You may think that your anointing is not that. Don't shortchange your anointing. Step into it. Move into it deeper. Learn. Listen. I'm not asking anybody. I'm not asking anybody in this room today to start praying for an hour and a half, 2 hours in your day. Because if you do that, listen, I'm not saying it's not. If you want to do that, do that. But that can burn you out. Because after the first, I think I heard one person say that the first day they prayed an hour, the second day they had covered everything. And the third day they learned how to pray. I'm asking you to start, if you spent 5 minutes with God, spend 10 minutes with God tomorrow. Spend 15 minutes with God the next day. Just begin learning that time. Learning how to spend that time with Him and talking to Him and fellowshipping with Him. If you spend 5 minutes in the Word today, spend 10 minutes in the Word tomorrow. If you spend 5 minutes in praise and worship today, spend 10 minutes in praise and worship tomorrow. Begin honoring Him with your life. Honoring that and thirsting after Him. Understanding in the same way that I'm not going to work without a cup of coffee. I'm not going to work without a touch of from heaven. Because I need that anointing. Just to keep the bugs in my workplace off me. I need that anointing because there's some people in my office that need to see me glisten. And they may not come to your words because you may not be able to preach at them, but they'll come to your glistening. How many times this year have you been asked by kids to pray for them? They come to your glistening. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we make ourselves available to your anointing. We don't want to just do this thing just to kind of say we've done it. We want to step in fully to enjoy all that you have for us. Lord, we want to change our surroundings. We want to change people. We want to see people's lives changed. Not just by religion, not just by church, but by the power of God and the anointing that you have placed on us. Lord, I don't want to be a dry Christian. I want to be so oiled up that when people hug me, I just shoot out. Just go. Hallelujah. I love you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, I'm hungry. Remember that? For a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. I love you guys. Go with God. Walk in His blessings. Prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I love you.